Welcome to our ashram in Thailand, our gypsy ashram, because now we are here and suddenly we are not here. That's why it's away. I find it maybe more and more difficult to speak, so I don't really know what to say. I hope you all are fine. Luckily, I got some help from Jaimati. So I think I start there because nothing else is happening. Then, when he starts, maybe it comes, you know, like that. Like you drive and then you first go downhill, then you roll by itself, no? My beloved Babaji, how much joy and gratitude for being with you in this beautiful country, so friendly and full of flowers. It is similar to the energy of in India, but better. I love this dry climate, the heat, the sky always blue, the vegetation, the perfume of the jasmines, the temples, the smiling people. But at the same time, I have an unexplainable and childish fear. It is the fear of getting lost, of being alone. I felt the same sensation in Nepal and in India. Are they memories of the lives I had in the East? Some tragic deaths, maybe? Or is it fear of death, of leaving the attachments and the past? Beloved, help me to dissolve whatever it is. I want to open more and more, to stay in this space of trust, of surrender, of the lightness, and to be reborn in total acceptance. So grateful for your love and care, always, with much, much love and gratitude at your feet, Jaimati. I'm happy you enjoy, Jaimati, in this beautiful country full of flowers. It is similar to the energy in India, but better. Yeah, because it's cleaner. It's not so messy. India is very chaotic. But I guess I have to take you back again there also, because so I can confuse some of you more. India is one of the best places to learn patience. And many people are impatient, then it's very good to be in India. Because if you're impatient there, you go crazy. Thailand must be the best holiday country in the whole world, as far as I'm concerned. And since you're all spoiled, because I spoil you, I take you to the easiest. But sometimes I think I should make it harder also. India is India. Sometimes I've been thinking, if only in India they had it as clean and nice as in Thailand, that would be the best combination. I love this dry climate, the heat. That is very good. I know you like it very hot. I say, thank God for the AC. Some things I can still thank God for. Everything is good here, and that's why I wanted to bring you here. I would even like to take you more in the country, but it's almost impossible to find a satsang hall like this. It's very unique. That is the most important to have. Not the living spaces, but the satsang hall. So that's why we are here, because like always, Babaji found this, because these people, even if I send them around on a mission, and then Babaji just take one on the motorbike and all that, like that. That's why I say I spoiled you. But if any of you are roaming around after the retreats, you feel free to look. But this, what is important is the satsang hall. So all is good, Jayamati, but at the same time I have an unexplainable and childish fear. It is the fear of getting lost, of being alone. I felt the same sensation when we were in Nepal and India. Are the memories of the lives I had in the East, or some tragic deaths, or is it the fear of death, of leaving the attachment and the past? It is many levels of fear, like everything else. So this depends where you function as a human being. Because people have so many different fears. In fact, everybody lives in fear. And because of the fear, you compromise your life. That's why people are living in places they don't want, are in relationships they don't want, are in jobs they don't want. So many compromises because of fear. What should I do then? Because it's the fear is also the fear of the unknown. That's why so many people live very boring, safe, dull, dead life. Because at least they know what it is. So to go into change, that is going into the unknown. Then you don't know. Then you have to take risk. Then you have to be courageous. It's almost impossible if you don't have some compassionate person to kick your butt and tempt you and tickle you and kiss you. Or it happens when you have an accident, or suddenly you get sick, or your marriage falls apart. People need, it seems like they need shocks to get out of their sleepiness. So why this? Because of fear. But in the so-called modern society, where everything is so safe and so boring and so dull that you hardly need to live at all, you can just be like a machine like everybody else, you don't even think about it, because there's nothing that asks for your true intelligence, for your true spirit. So this intelligence, this spirit, can be dormant your whole life. And when you come to a mystic, this is the spirit, he wakes up. Then you start investigating, then you start feeling, then you start asking yourself. Otherwise, this is dormant. It can be dormant your whole life, and that is what is so-called normal for people. So there is so many fears. You say you have an unexplainable and childish fear. And it's good you say it's childish, because now you are grown up. So then you're not a child. So then you see, that means now you have a distance to that fear. So you have so many fears, and it doesn't really matter what fear it is, if it's the memories of past lives, tragic deaths, or is it the fear of death, of leaving the attachment and the past. That is the bottom line. That is the bottom line. So, depending how intelligent you are and how strong you are in yourself, you will focus on what is important. Some have very little fears, but it can be very big fear that holds them back their whole life. Leaving the job, for example. Going traveling. No, I tempted you all to come here. Very good. Now you are all out of your comfort zone at home. Then many things will come up in you. You will see yourself in many different ways. You will respond in many different ways, which is very good. No, remember, stay centered. Watch yourself instead of watching the outside. Watch how you respond to things, how you react, what comes up in you. Because it's always one of the easiest things, you put yourself in a new situation. Then you have to function in a new way. You cannot function like you are at home, in your safe space. You have to use your intelligence more. So it's very good. That's one reason why I invite you here. But the bottom line of all fears is the fear of death. Because you have attachment, leaving the attachment and the past. And all the master says, you have to leave the past. What is the past? It's your attachments. It's who you think you are. That is your past. That is your attachment. What is attachment? It's a very heavy burden. All the masters have said you have to go beyond attachment. You have to drop the past. But you cannot drop it if you don't understand it. And that understanding only comes at a certain time in your evolution. It cannot come before and again it comes after. It comes when you are ready, when you go deep enough to look at yourself. Because who is it that is afraid? Who is it that dies? This is the question. Not the past, not the little fears, the bottom line. Who is it that dies? Who is it that is afraid? It is your past. It is your attachment. And deeper than all the attachment that can bring fears and blah, 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 is the attachment to yourself, your identity of who you think you are. That is the biggest attachment, which you can easily oversee. So, only when that attachment goes, then you are free. Then nobody dies. How can you die? Only the body dies. Yeah, this you know intellectually, and especially when I remind you, who are you? Who is dying? The body dies. The material, whatever is material, it appears and it disappears. So the whole point of meditation, of enlightenment, is to see things as they are. To realize oneself. What is realize oneself? Realize oneself is to realize that there is no self. Yeah, that's the tricky business. That's how it is. So, if there is no self, if you are not the physical body, what is there to be afraid of then? Then you cannot die. That is what is self-realization. Then you have realized who you are in your true nature, which is not the physical body, is not the mind, is not your emotions. But this is your attachment, that is your identity, that is who you are. That is your drama, Mrs. Drama Queen. So, in the moment of insight, then you are free of that. That's what's happening in satsang. Then your spirit gets lifted higher. So you rise above your story. And something in you is very, very delightful in that, because it's something in you knows that this is the real, this is the truth, this is what everybody is longing for. It's like a magnet. Everybody wants it. But you have to look at yourself. In India, they say, if you meet a guru, half of your problems are gone. Half of the journey is already done, just by meeting a guru. But then, the next is to imbibe the guru's teaching, to listen, to understand, to get in tune, to meditate. That is the difficult part. So the guru can do already, just by coming in contact, half the journey is done. But then people are so lazy, they maybe don't want to do anything, because already half is so good. But sooner or later you have to face yourself. You have to become more and more in tune with the teaching, with the truth, with the master. And that you can only do by coming closer and closer to yourself. It has to be both ways. So it is the fear of death, because if you realize that there is no death, then where is the fear, and where is the attachments then? Then you become, like they say in the scriptures, free, living this very life, and you are free. This very earth, the lotus paradise. That is, in India they call it Jivan Mukta, a free being. No? That is a free being, not somebody who is running away from the parents. That is freedom for some people, or running away for the husband and the wife. No, it means you have run away from yourself, your whole story. Then it's only between you and existence. So it will always be fear if you feel separate, because then it's all the other things that you can be afraid of, because you are also a thing, you are also a body. Seeing yourself as part of everything, there is no fear. So this is what you are coming closer. This is the paradox and the mystery of being human being. Like Jesus says, you are half human, half God. You are spirit and you are physical. So if you go through life like most people do, just as physical, just as the body, then there is fear. Coming in contact with the Guru, he reminds you that there's more. You are not only the body. You are not only the mind. You are not only the emotions. Find out who you are. Go deeper. So, that is the whole journey. When you can accept that, then you can do whatever. It doesn't matter what you do, because nothing can touch you. Because you are not there as a person. You're functioning like any beautiful thing is functioning. There is no wanting. That's another thing. When there is no desire, there is no wanting, then there can be no fear. There cannot be any disappointment. There cannot be any guilt. All these poisons that destroying people's life is not there, because all comes from being separate. Being separate, you feel fear. And the ultimate fear then, okay, you have the fear, maybe your husband is going to leave you. Feel fear. I don't have any work anymore. What should I do? You feel fear. It's thousands of fears. What should I do? What should I be when I grow up? It's fears and fears and fears. And the thing is that this, more or less, this whole planet is functioning in that state of fear, because you're functioning out of separateness, out of persons or egos. You are separate. So, finding back to yourself, there is no fear. But that, then there is also no attachment. It goes together. So my suggestion is, don't think about the past lives or tragic deaths or nothing. focus on who is it that dies. You have to go deeper into that. And going deeper into that, you have to face your fear. Because the fear is inbuilt in everybody, because you have to go beyond the body. You have to go beyond that point where the body feels like it's dying. That happens also in meditation. You come to a point where you're on the edge. Then fear comes, then you come back. Till one point, and that's where you need trust, that's when you need surrender. That you have done that so many times that now you understand there's nothing to be afraid. And even in spite of my fear, I let go. And in that letting go, there is bliss. But you cannot do it because it comes from your own inner understanding, your own maturity. And then fear goes. You become fearless. And that fearlessness doesn't mean that you do anything. You can live as quiet as not. It's inner freedom, which has nothing to do with what you do or not do on the outside. Krishna was a warrior. He was teaching war in the Bhagavad Gita. Jesus is known for totally different things. Man of peace. Not to mention Ravana Maharshi, who was just sitting there his whole life. It's not a question of doing anything. It's not even a question of saying anything. It's an inner freedom. So that is the inexplainable and childish fear. Now I try to explain the unexplainable. And childish, yes, because in everybody you know that you have something else. You know, everybody knows, if you close your eyes, what's the difference between now when you go in and when you were 3 years old and closed your eyes. Your inner space has not changed. That silent consciousness has not changed. Yeah, your mind has changed. Your thinking has changed. Your physical body has changed. But consciousness has not changed. It's untouched. And that is what I'm calling coming home. And if you don't come home, it's very childish, because only rascal children wants to run away and do naughty things. Good children wants to come home and relax. It's night time now, come home. Beloved, help me to dissolve whatever it is. I want to help to dissolve everything. Not whatever, but everything. Because in reality, there is no fear. And that is also the miracle of love. Because if there is love, there is no fear. So when you come into your heart, which is the only space you can feel the dimension of love, and the mind is left behind, then there is no fear. Fear is in the head. Love is deeper. In love you relax. That is the gate to the beyond. Rumi has a beautiful saying. He said, don't move the way fear makes you move. Move the way love makes you move. Joy makes you move. Don't move the way fear makes you move. And look at yourself. So many times you move, you live the way fear, anger, darkness, jealousy makes you move. Then how is your actions then out of that fear? You get tense. You get dark. It's like you have a dark cloud around you. No, says Rumi, move the way joy makes you move, like love makes you move. And that is all what a Rumi is trying to teach you. But you cannot learn that from the head. You have to be in the company of a Rumi. That's where you catch it. It's like a flu, but it's much better. So, Jaimati, I'm helping you to do so whatever. And the more you come close and the deeper you go in yourself, the more dissolves. I want to open more and more to stay in the space of trust, of surrender. Yeah, that is why the longing is so much needed. Everything falls into place with your own understanding to see things as they are. Everybody has that wisdom, that light. It's just to get in touch with it. Then you know. But it's not enough to know, you have to live it, you have to realize it. That is the sign that you are untouched then. You cannot get into any dramas anymore. You don't do anything out of fear, out of wanting. It's impossible. Out of dreams. Out of desires. And as long as you identify yourself as somebody, just the body, then you will have all your trips and your fear and your attachment and your suffering. It's bound to be like that. Only when you go beyond that, when you have come back, then, of course, you will live much more beautiful than before because you have no fear, you have no wanting, you live as a free being. It doesn't matter where or what you do in your life. So this is the longing that the mystics talks about, that Rumi talks about also. This longing when you don't have so much desires in this world, you're coming more back, you're becoming more real, then you have the longing for trust, for love, for surrender, for truth. That is how it's bound to go. The more entangled you are in the world, the more desires you have. The more free you are, the less desires. Then your energy can move freely into different dimensions. Like somebody who is hungry, they don't enjoy art or good music. They think about food, where to get the next meal. That's the basic. When you have that, then only can you start enjoying the higher, the arts, the music, the paintings. Then after that is meditation, is the inner. So that should be the true longing, to disappear more and more into love, into surrender, into truth. I many times have reminded you, be aware of what you love, because they have a saying, you become what you love. Be aware of what you love. So, because everybody is identified with their persona, with their ego, with their something, somebody, then you act out of your way of seeing things. Then you will have fear. That means you act out of fear, you act out of desire. Desire what you want, what you dream about. That will color your whole world, how you see the world. So if you act out of fear, out of desire, everything will go humpty-dumpty in your life. It can never work out because it's what you want. If you act more and more out of truth, out of love, out of clarity, out of not being so identified that you are just a body, somebody, then more and more you will be in tune. And less conflicts, less dramas. Then your whole energy can start moving in different channels. You see, that is never, it's impossible that your own energy moves in higher channels as long as you are occupied all the time with the childish nonsense. It's impossible. Welcome to Satsang. So it's a good reminder to yourself that now you are here. And you can be here in many different ways. Because the past and your attachment, your ideas of who you are is very deep. Everybody has to face that fear to go beyond themselves, to go beyond the past. And that's why these retreats can be very, very valuable. Because you have an opportunity to step out of how you are in your so-called ordinary life, which is just a continuation of your past. So if you put your energy or awareness into being in the moment, not go on just on automatic, helping yourself to be present, then you can get a lot out of it, because that is what is happening. But I'm available, but you have to be available to yourself also. To use these weeks to investigate yourself, to go beyond who you think you are, to come back to yourself. Because it's the easiest thing in the world just to go on automatic. You need awareness, mindfulness, understanding to stop. Now in this country, they are so-called Buddhist, which maybe some of you have seen because there's quite a few temples around, Buddha statues and all that. But that is just like a religion. People doesn't need to be religious because of that. For me, being religious is when you go beyond yourself, when you are free. Not when you think you are Hindu or Christian or Buddhist. That is another prison, another idea. You don't know. You have to become a Buddha. That is being religious. But Buddhism is maybe the most mature, most beautiful religion, because they're very peaceful, and they're also much more aware, it seems, what they do, because they know anything they do will be in your karma. So it's very ingrained here for thousands of years to be more peaceful, to be more happy. Because however you are today, that's how you will be more tomorrow. So if you're angry today, more angry tomorrow. Happy today, more happy tomorrow. That is the way of karma. But I love Buddha because Buddha, for me, he stands for freedom. And we just talked about fear. Fear holds you back. Freedom makes you free. How can you fly if you're not free? So whatever is holding you back, you should look at. whatever you feel you are tied down with, you should look at, because in reality you are free. Anything that is holding you down is your own creation, your own ideas, your own attachments. That is what I mean by responsibility. You have to be responsible for your own freedom, for your own intelligence, for your own clarity. And for me, Buddha is a man of freedom, total freedom. Yes, he had to also go through the whole path. He was just like you. He left his family, he left his kingdom, he left his wealth. He became a beggar. He left everything. That was freedom in a way. But the ultimate freedom, remember, is freedom from yourself. And the story goes, even after he became self-realized, he went back to his family, to his castle. Because he left the wife, he left her when she was pregnant. He left the father, he left the mother. And 7 years later, he was going back. But then he was a totally different man. Absolutely not the same who left. But they didn't understand. The father saw him just like his son, complaining about what he had done. So this is the small thing. Remember, nothing has changed. It will always be like that. When you live in the small, you will see everything as is the small. No, the family wants you for the self, because that's what the little family is. A Buddha is for the whole human family. But that, if you live in the little, you cannot see. There will always be conflict between the lies, which is the all for the family. We belong to each other. That is a very narrow way of seeing reality. That's why Jesus, Buddha, everybody has to break out from the family. But that is very petite freedom. Maybe a beginning. And you don't even need to do that. When after you are enlightened, you see there's no need for that. But maybe it is part of it. Because you are identified with the family. You are identified with your identity. You are identified with the past. When you are free, you know you are free. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where this body came from that parent or that parent. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if the body is man or woman. Black or white, it doesn't matter. Buddha says, few cross over the river. Most are stranded on this side. On the river bank, they run up and down. But the wise person following the path crosses over beyond the reach of death, free from desire, free from possessions, free from attachment and appetite, following the seven lights of awakening, and rejoicing greatly in one's own freedom. In this world, the wise person becomes a light unto himself, pure, shining, free. Such a beautiful words. Few cross over the river. Most are stranded on this side. On the river bank they run up and down. The river is dangerous to cross. You can drown, you can disappear. It's much safer to be on this side. Most people are identified with their egos, with their past. Most are stranded on this side. On the river bank they run up and down. Maybe they run up and down and that means you're reading spiritual books. You're looking across. Hear some stories from the other side. Oh, it looks great. But you have to cross the river. How to do that if you don't have somebody with the ferry, with the boat? That's what they call Buddha, among many other things, one who takes you across the river or across the ocean. But the wise person following the way crosses over beyond the reach of death. And who is the wise person? The wise person is the one who has the courage, intelligence to break free of the masses who is stranded on the side. The wise person is the one who breaks out of the ships, who is ready to face himself or herself. They cross over beyond the reach of death. And that's how you cross over beyond the reach of death, because on the other side you realize that you are not just the body. On one side, where the masses is, where it's safe, is only the bodies, is only the egos. To cross, you become a nobody, a happy one, a free one. No, if you are first crossed over, it's no problem to go back. It's up to you. Nobody can take away that understanding, that wisdom. Nobody can take away that realization which you have earned yourself. It's impossible. Maybe everybody will say, you're totally crazy. Which they will say. Free from desire, free from possessions. And who in this world is free from desire? No, it's very difficult to fit in. If you are free from desire, it means you have found something that is beyond any desire that this world can give you. That must be something really, really good. You have no more desire. This world has nothing to tempt you with. That is really being a king, being a queen. You are untouched by the world. Free from possessions. Free from possession doesn't mean that you don't have anything. Even if the Buddhist monks, like here in Thailand, goes around with the begging bowl still, it's your inner attachment. Free from possessions means you have understood that you don't possess anything. You are not attached. free from attachment and appetite. What is appetite? Appetite, he means with the greed, greediness. No, you eat everything. Following the seven lights of awakening and rejoicing greatly in one's freedom. No, the seven lights of awakening. What is most important, says Buddha, is to become more conscious. What he many times is translated as mindfulness. No, in the West it's become very popular, this first sentence of Buddha, mindfulness. Because nobody is mindful, nobody is aware. So now it become a business also, mindfulness trainings. Which is great. It's the beginning to become more conscious in the moment. So the first things the Buddha says, become more mindful, become more aware. Because only when you become more aware can you start looking at yourself. The next is to start investigate yourself, going deeper. Understanding what the Buddha talks about. No, use your awareness to go deeper. To get in tune. No, out of that, going deeper, getting in tune, becoming more pure yourself, the outcome will be joy, bliss. Happiness. That is the outcome of cleaning oneself. Which is for the ordinary people, they never touch that. They never touch that joy that comes from a clean heart, from a happy heart. My whole life, people, I heard, this guy must be on drugs. Always so happy. Many of you must have heard also. Because they don't understand. The only thing they can relate to is drugs. This is a different drug. So that is the outcome. And out of joy, when you have become aware, when you have come back to yourself, when you go deeper, when you start transforming and cleaning the darkness into light, the poisons into nectar, then joy, happiness, a lightness of being. No, the next step will be more calm, more peaceful, more relaxed in your being. That you can see many times around me in the retreat also. People get very ecstatic. Very happy, especially new people. They've never been so happy. That's what I call the honeymoon. Then they totally flip out. It's like, it's too much. No, the next thing, when that goes over, then the energy comes back to yourself. You become more peaceful. You go deeper. You become calm, collected. No meditation can go deeper. Then you have to be established in that. So you start functioning out of that peace, which is very, very harmonious. Then that will bring you beyond both, the opposite. Then you will be totally in balance. That is, Buddha calls it samadhi, advaita. You have gone beyond the opposite. You are just in your clarity. So this is the seven levels. It's almost like this seven chakras, little map. Following the seven lights of awakening and rejoicing greatly in one's freedom. So these seven lights is something also to remember, because it's not just like that. Most people, they need a kind of map. Because we had gone so far away, this past, these attachments, this identity is sitting so deep that it takes time. That's why many, many masters have talked about many different steps or chakras or levels. Even in this world, the wise person becomes oneself a light. Even in this world, because this world, out of ego, out of unconsciousness, becomes a dark world. Out of consciousness, it becomes a light world. It all depends on you. Everybody is carrying their own reality in themselves. That is the transformation from darkness to light. Becomes oneself a light, pure, shining, free. Welcome. May everyone become pure, shining, free. Aum Shanti.